On the first anniversary of the January 6th Capitol breach, what do we know about the people charged and uncharged?
Was the breach a terrorist attack or a political prosecution of the First Amendment rights?
What did Attorney General Garland tell us today?
And what do the concerned organizations say today?
Welcome to Wei and Cathy Show. I'm your host, Wei Fang.
And I'm Cathy Zhang.
Yeah, this is a quite a heavy day because at this time last year, actually January 6th, there was this Capitol breach where thousands of people just swamped into the Capitol. And Justice Department has been on the case since then. It has been almost 1 year. And we do want to know that what's happening now and what is the status now. And what we can find out from the situation here.
Right. So as the result of the January 6th, 2021 Capitol breach, we now know that five people died, hundreds of them now arrested and charged as of today. So, you know, whether it is, some people say it's a terrorist attack, but others say it is actually now a political prosecution for exercising the First Amendment rights. So what really it is. And Attorney General Merrick Garland delivered a remark today. He discussed the prosecutions of those arrested and what the Department of Justice will continue to do.
We have arrested and charged more than 725 defendants in nearly all 50 states and the District of Columbia for their roles in the January 6th attack. In charging the perpetrators, we have followed well-worn prosecutorial practices. Those who assaulted officers or damaged the Capitol face greater charges. Those who conspired with others to obstruct the vote count also face greater charges. Those who did not undertake such conduct have been charged with lesser offenses, particularly if they accepted their responsibility early and cooperated with the investigation. In the first months of the investigation, approximately 145 defendants pled guilty to misdemeanors, mostly defendants who did not cause injury or damage. Such pleas reflect the facts of those cases and the defendants' acceptance of responsibility. And they help conserve both judicial and prosecutorial resources so that attention can properly focus on the more serious perpetrators. In complex cases, initial charges are often less severe than later charged offenses. This is purposeful as investigators methodically collect and sift through more evidence. By now, though, we have charged over 325 defendants with felonies, many for assaulting officers and many for corruptly obstructing or attempting to obstruct an official proceeding. 20 defendants charged with felonies have already pled guilty. Approximately 40 defendants have been charged with conspiracy to obstruct a congressional proceeding and or to obstruct law enforcement. In the months ahead, 17 defendants are already scheduled to go to trial for their role in felony conspiracies. The actions we have taken thus far will not be our last. The Justice Department remains committed to holding all January 6th perpetrators at any level accountable under law, whether they were present that day or were otherwise criminally responsible for the assault on our democracy. We will follow the facts wherever they lead.
Okay, so today we're going to talk about some of the facts and also the responses from people around the country. Actually, a lot of people are now very concerned about the those who are detained in the detention center right now, their conditions, and there are charges that some of them, for example, you know, is one of them actually is near dead because of the treatment, not receiving the proper diet treatment, And so some organizations are organizing a nationwide effort to host candlelight vigils at a DC detention facility and around the country tomorrow on the January 6th, the first anniversary. And we will have the spokesperson, the executive director of the leading organization, Look Ahead America, Mr. Matt Reinhardt, with us later on the show today. So stay tuned. So, you know, there are, so far, we were told by the Attorney General that more than 725 individuals are being arrested and charged. I don't know, how do you think of that way? You know, more than 725 people. Those individuals have numbers, but it's like more than 725. It's seemed to be like not a definite number of those people being arrested and detained.
Yeah, let me give you the number. As I just read through the, watched through Attorney General Garland's speech today. He said as of now, 145 people pled guilty to misdemeanor. 325 people were charged with felony. Among them, 20 pleaded guilty. And among them also, 40 were charged with action against the congressional representatives, and 17 were scheduled to be charged. And one, this is the most noteworthy thing. One person was recently tried. So, you know, I don't want to pretend to give any compliment to this. To this efficiency. Okay, this is what 365 days later. Okay, and then what I found out is only 17 were scheduled to be charged, and only one was recently tried. And what's the result? Only one out of this more than 725 people. Well, so what are the prosecutors doing in this 365 days? And here I just wanted to just read it to you our congressional. Constitutional Amendment 6. Remember, this is the Holy Grail. This is our Constitution, okay? In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and a public trial by an impartial jury of the states and the district wherein the crime shall have been committed. So this is indeed the bottom I want to get to. Okay, I do want to find out. I don't have Attorney General Garland in front of me, so I cannot ask him that question. But we have some other observers or other people who has been following the case for, I guess, most of the 1 year. So hopefully we can get to some of the answers. Remember that our Constitution said such people shall have a right to a speedy and a public trial by a jury. I'm very interested in the jury trial. I haven't seen any media report about any trial. And why is that? So this is the, hopefully we can get to some of the answer to the question that is actually raised by our Constitution here.
Right. And also, I think, you know, let's just kind of review, because there are five lives passed due to this, during this incidents. So we, you know, one of them, everybody knows, the Army veteran Ashley Babbitt, 35 years old. He died from a gunshot by Capitol Police when she was, you know, trying to get into the House chamber. Another two individuals, they both died naturally of hypertensive and atherosclerotic cardiovascular diseases. That's according to the Washington DC Medical Examiner's Office. So these are three people, and the fourth one is the Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. He died from stroke and classified as a natural death. But initially, the mainstream media all just said he died because of the attack by the riots, so-called riots. Then the fifth person, there wasn't a lot of talk about her, but recently there are more talk about her. Her name is Roseanne Boyland from Georgia. And so actually, the DC Medical Examiner Office back in April last year already determined that she died from accidental acute amphetamine intoxication, which means overdose of drugs, instead of being crushed by the crowd, as previously reported, especially by the New York Times, first report on January that Boyland died because of the mega crowd. But I just noticed that actually, like for example, MSNBC interviewed this lady, says older sister, and charging that President Trump is responsible for her death. So that's what's going on. And also another story actually is brewing right now. It's really not so much reported by the mainstream media, but in other alternative media, that's the story of Ray Epps. You may or may have not heard about this. So October 21st last year, in a hearing of the Attorney General Merrick Garland, representative from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, actually showed some videos and questioned Attorney General Garland about a mysterious man named Ray Epps instructing protesters to enter the U.S. Capitol building on January 5th and also later on shepherd the crowd towards the Capitol on January 6th. So let's see some of the videos. Okay. Okay, so that's the video that Representative Massey shared at this hearing. We will talk about a little bit more. And right now, we actually have our guest for the show already come up now. So let's just get him into our show. That's the executive director of Look Ahead America, the organization that has been really concerned about the situation of the January 6th detainees and have been doing a lot. So Matt Breinart. Matt, welcome to our show.
Hi, Matt.
Real honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Yeah, so Matt, we know that your organization has been leading to organize this January 6th anniversary candlelight vigil. We will talk about that today. But maybe, you know, since we just shared some of the stories on the January 6th, and you obviously know about those, just wonder what's your take on these stories. For example, the Roseanne Rowland story. So since it seems there are two sides of the story, one side saying that even her older sister saying, oh, you know, she shouldn't be there. She was manipulated. All right. And President Trump should be responsible for her death. But on the other hand, there are also other people saying she was died because of maybe the Capitol Police. So What's your take on that? What do you know about it?
We look at it more broadly. That January 6th was for America what the Tiananmen Square massacre was for China. In China, if you ask what the government, what the official statement is about what happened, it was a violent uprising of activists to try to overthrow the government and needs to be met with an appropriate response. The reality is that it was a peaceful protest among students, and the government went in and massacred a bunch of people and prosecuted and persecuted them for their political voice. Here we have an incident where, if you just look at the charges against most of the 700 or 800 people who've been arrested and charged so far, they're being charged for parading or trespassing, really just exercising the First Amendment rights and maybe not the best place and best time. Typically, this behavior has been punished with a $50 fine and the person is released that day on site. Instead of what's happening now to these individuals, that many of them are facing jail sentences of up to 5 years. Individuals who've never been accused or charged or convicted of violence against police officers or destruction of property are being locked up in multi-year sentences. And it's all because of what they believe. It has nothing to do with what they do. And that is why it is political persecution in the same way the Chinese government punished, massacred, and persecuted their dissidents after the Tiananmen Square massacre. So there's this real parallel. And you can look at the case of Roseanne Boylan, or you can look at the case of Ashley Babbitt, two individuals who died that day. We know that Ashley Babbitt was murdered by a Capitol Police officer at point-blank range while posing no apparent threat to anyone. And there was no transparent investigation. There was no congressional hearing on why that was a justified shooting or not. The Capitol Police just absolved themselves of that murder. In the case of Roseanne Boylan, it's apparent, and there are many witnesses that say she was beaten to death by a D.C. police officer. There's evidence they lied about what they did with her body after she was found. No transparency, no investigation, despite the fact that the federal government and the Capitol Police are sitting on 14,000 hours of videotape of exactly what happened that day. And the videotape we do have that was collected by spectators shows a peaceful crowd surrounding the Capitol exercising their First Amendment rights, and the Capitol and D.C. police throwing flashbang and smoke grenades into the crowd, weapons of war against a peaceful gathering of citizens and patriots. And that is, in fact, a war crime. So there's a real parallel between what has happened here and what has happened in China and Tiananmen Square. And Look Ahead America is leading the way to highlight this grave injustice and to try to get real justice for these individuals who've been persecuted and to try to get justice for Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boylan.
You mentioned in regards to Roseanne Rowland, does your organization have some of the evidence, video or pictures or witness statements at hand that you can share?
Sure. We've actually been working very closely with a dynamic leader in the field, Kara Castanova, and she has documented this through articles in Gateway Pundit. She's uncovered videotapes showing Ms. Roseanne being beaten with a truncheon by a police officer. Again, this is a civilian, a woman, unarmed. And that combined with what the government is still sitting on, what they're hiding, and the refusal to release many thousands of hours of videotape, indicates to me that there's something to hide. And I think that right now what her family is going through is very difficult. They lost somebody very close to them. And they never really wanted the spotlight, but there are people that are persevering in this investigation. And I hope that at some point we actually get to find out the real truth. And based on my assessment of the evidence that's presented, it does appear that she was murdered.
Mm. Okay. So in regards to the people who are in the detention center right now, you know, what's really going on? First of all, how many people exactly are still in the detention? How many of them are, receiving they have lawyers and, proper legal assistance? What do you know about that?
Well, I think we need to remember that it's a much bigger problem than many more victims than just those who are being held in detention, in pretrial detention. There are those who are serving sentences that they've agreed to because they can't afford an adequate lawyer and they can't sustain a trial due to lack of personal resources, so they accept a plea agreement to a crime they're not really guilty of in the first place. You have people waiting trial out on bail who've lost their jobs, lost their homes, lost family relations, had a tremendous amount of stress put on them and basically had their lives turned over, had the FBI come to their house and point guns at their children. So yeah, beyond that, though, you do have these individuals who are being held in pretrial detention. These individuals have not been convicted of anything, and in many cases are not even accused of participating in any violence. These are individuals who were, frankly, just exercising their First Amendment rights in a very aggressive way and in violation of certain protocol in a public building where on pretty much any other day of the week you can walk in there as a citizen with no incident. So these individuals have been denied access to families, in many cases denied ready access to their attorneys, been denied access to basic humanitarian standards like getting a haircut, getting a toothbrush, or getting, in some cases, the treatment they may need for the cancer they're suffering. And certainly many of them are suffering from mental health issues from being isolated for so long. And in fact, those that are being held in the D.C. gulag, the federal government has tried to break their fears because they have developed a sense of camaraderie because they can hear each other when they sing and speak out loud, even though they're held in solitary confinement. The federal government has tried to break their spirits by separating them and sending them to different prisons all over the country. So they're suffering grave injustices. So I think the very least we can do, your audience can do, is to go look up where these vigils are that we are holding tomorrow at dusk and stand out in the cold for an hour to honor the sacrifice that these patriots have made and to commemorate the death, the unnecessary death of Ashley Babbitt and Roseanne Boyland.
So, Matt, can I ask the, you know, at this, on this day, 365 days later, okay, how many people are still in detention? How many people are out on bail? What do you know about that, if you know the number?
Well, Look America has built the largest database tracking all of this. We found lookataamerica.org/day6. We have an index of every site that's been charged, what their current situation is, where they're being held, who their attorneys are, if somebody wants to reach out and try to help. Our belief is there are approximately 100 individuals still being held in different jail systems around the country, in different prisons. And we think that there are probably several dozen still held at the D.C. gulag. There are a couple hundred that are still waiting, awaiting their trial. And then we have several hundred more that actually accepted, again, a plea deal. The federal government has a lot of nasty tricks they can use against these defendants. And they'll say, okay, we're going to charge you with four things. We know you're not guilty of any of them, but if you accept the plea agreement, you can plead to just one of them, and then we put you in prison. And many people, again, they lack the resources to fight this. They don't have good attorneys. They've got public defenders who are overextended and don't quite have the same fury to fight this. Fortunately, though, there are a handful of individuals that said, look, I didn't do anything wrong. I've got the resources. I've got the attorney. We're going to fight this. And I think that if they prevail, it will undercut the prosecution of so many others who just simply lost their cases because they weren't able to afford an adequate attorney.
Okay. And Matt, I'm looking at this Amendment 6 of our Constitution. Okay, let me read it to you. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed. As of now, how many trial of jury has happened, to your knowledge?
I would say approximately 100 or so, but not nearly enough. So many of these people have been denied their Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial. They've been denied access to the evidence that the government says they have against them. They've been denied complete access to their attorneys to be able to prepare their cases. And there's really very little justification for any of them to be held on pretrial detention. Most of them have no record of any kind of violence or criminal behavior. They're not being charged with it in this case. Or, look, you can commit murder in this country and be given bail and be out on bail waiting for your trial. Mm-hmm. That is a standard in this country. You can be charged with rape, all kinds of other crimes. What's different with these individuals is they're not being charged with true crimes or criminal behavior. They're being charged with thought crimes, with thinking the wrong thing, with having the wrong ideas. And that's why they're being persecuted, and that's why they're being held in pretrial detention. And unfortunately, both our Department of Justice, the FBI, the Biden regime, and the justice system are all working together, along with many in the media who do not share your own network's fidelity for the truth, to paint this picture of there being a violent white supremacist insurrection that killed a bunch of police officers on January 6th. That is a big lie that's been perpetuated by media all over this country who are aligned with our Department of Justice and the Biden regime and the woke leftist agenda.
So, what's the legal ground for those individuals are given for such a long time detention? Do you know anything about that?
Well, the prosecutors walk in there and lie to the judges about them being a threat to society. They say, hey, you had a Lego set of U.S. Capitol. Clearly, you're a threat. We can't release you. So there's been very thin grounds and a lot of cowardice, I think, from the judiciary and a lot of evil being done by the prosecutors who brought these trials.
Wow. So how many courts are involved? It's just one in D.C. or there are multiple courts involved?
It's primarily the federal court all across the country. It just depends on where that person lives. And that's where at least a lot of these pretrial detention decisions are being made. At the local district court level. A few appeals have been tried to be made, but they really haven't gotten anywhere. We, again, have not found a judge that has had the courage to say, look, there's no basis for holding these people. Look, give them a trial. Look, if they've been accused of violence, fine, try them. Convict them according to the historic standards for these crimes that have been committed. But this is a purely political persecution, and every day these people stay in prison, it's a reminder to us all that this is a political persecution, what we would expect, and that these are political prisoners, and this is what we would expect in a foreign, authoritarian, communist regime, not what we would expect here in the United States of America.
Matt, did your organization try to request any answer, any information from the Justice Department? And if you did they answer? How did they answer to your voice, the voice you raised?
Well, we initially, all the way back in January, asked that all the nonviolent defendants have charges dropped because there's a precedent for that. That's how they treated left-wing protesters historically. We sent a letter to both the Department of Justice and the FBI, but they ignored us, just as they've ignored many other requests for this evidence, FOIA requests for the video. They'll go to court and say that, well, it puts national security at risk or something because of a camera in a public building or something like that, which is not a real excuse. It's not valid. It's just a way for them to continue to cover themselves up. And there's a possibility that Congress may change leadership at the end of this year, and there's a potential that new leadership will release that footage, and we can see what actually happened all that day.
Hmm. During the summer of that last year, there are a lot of riots around the country after the George Floyd death. To your knowledge, was there any of the people involved in those riots, the violent riots, are charged as or detained as those January 6th detainees?
No, not quite the same way. In fact, we can just look at President Trump's inauguration. There were over 200 individuals who were arrested for committing real violence, not trespassing, not parading, but real violence in Washington, D.C. again. Police officers assaulting police officers, destroying police cars, destroying public property, causing harm to other individuals. Over 200 of them had all charges dropped by the Department of Justice. And these were real violent Antifa criminals. And there was a point during the summer of 2020 where President Trump had to be brought into a bunker because so many Secret Service agents had been attacked and injured, over 40 of them injured, 50 of them injured. They had one of their station headquarters destroyed by the BLM rioters, domestic terrorists, and nothing like this. Whereas, some boomer took a self-guided tour of a public building and suddenly their faces on billboards, the FBI trying to ask for help to identify these domestic terrorists. This is purely a political persecution by this Department of Justice and this regime.
So what are the reactions from the Congress? Have your organization contacted? I know, you contacted some of the Congress members, but what's their reaction and what do you think they could do?
Well, there's a lot they could do. They could put an end to this persecution by restricting Department of Justice funding unless all of these people are released. But that would require real courage. And unfortunately, we really haven't seen that kind of courage from very many members of Congress. We have Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have Matt Gaetz. We have Paul Gosar, Louie Gohmert, who stepped forward on this issue. But the rest of them, they just hope that this whole January 6th thing disappears so they can focus on raising money and policies that are maybe favorable to the global elite or the Chamber of Commerce. They don't really care about these people. They're not really of them. And unfortunately, we have too few patriots in Congress who will represent the real will of the people, which is to defend these individuals. Hopefully, though, in the next Congress, we'll have a lot more patriots. I've seen this issue mentioned consistently by members of people who are running for office in a campaign, an issue on the campaign trail. And I expect that when the new class coming into Congress, we'll have a lot more warriors for the January 6th, the Justice for J6 movement. And I actually have to go, but I do want to let your audience know, please come attend our vigil if one is happening near you. You can find the list at lookaheadamerica.org/vigil. We have over 26 all around the country, everywhere from Florida to Hawaii. So please try to find a vigil near you and sign up to volunteer with Look Ahead America so we can continue to put public pressure on the Justice for J6 movement.
Mm-hmm. So, Matt, just, you know, one last question before you go, since we have you here. I think this question has on the mind of some people. Actually, I was asked by some of our viewers. People were wondering where does President Trump stands on this issue, because people have not heard from him.
Look at America. We don't get involved with political battles for a nonprofit. And We don't support candidates or condemn candidates for office, or our focus is really just on raising the public pressure. And I think with that public pressure, you find more elected officials willing to speak out. The more people see that this is a problem, the more elected officials understand that they need to speak out on it. So that, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be on your show and look forward to doing it again real soon.
Okay. Tell us again, what's the website of your organization?
Lookaheadamerica.org. And to find the vigils, lookaheadamerica.org/vigil. It's all there. So we hope to see many in your audience come out to our vigils all across the country. We have 26 of them planned, and I'm looking forward to having a really strong representation tomorrow night.
Okay, again, what's the time again for the vigil?
It depends on the vigils of where it's happening. We have one in D.C. that's happening at the prison. That's at 6 o'clock. But I got to go.
Okay.
And it's all on the website.
All right.
Good to have you.
Thank you. All right. What's your thought? If you have any thought, just put it on in the chat room. And so this is Matt
Breinart.
Who has been? I think his organization has been following this for several months. I still have a couple of questions for him, but he has to go. But anyway, we got something here. So I want to
let us know what do you think?
And what are the other questions you could have, and we can follow up with other questions with email, and then bring his answer to us here.
Yeah. So maybe just let's continue with the mysterious man Ray Epps, his story. So we showed you on October 21st, Representative from Kentucky, Thomas Massey, shared the videos that people caught of this man was just instructing protesters to go into the Capitol one day before January 6th. And also on the day of January 6th, he was shepherding the crowds towards the Capitol. And I don't know if you paid attention to the last video, the last scene. He was in front of the Capitol on January 6th. He was like whispering to a young man with a MAGA hat. And then just a few seconds after their conversation, the young man with the hat just pushed down the barricade, right, with other people. So Representative Massey actually raised a concern. If there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on the January 5th and the 6th. So let's just take a look at this his conversation with Attorney General Garland on that day.
And as far as we can find, this individual has not been charged with anything. You said this is one of the most sweeping investigations in history. Have you seen that video or those frames from that video?
So as said at the outset, one of the norms of the Justice Department is to not comment on impending investigations, and particularly not to comment about particular scenes or particular individuals.
I was hoping today to give you an opportunity to put to rest the concerns that people have that there were federal agents or assets of the federal government present on January 5th and January 6th. Can you tell us, without talking about particular incidents or particular videos, how many agents or assets of the federal government were present on January 6th, whether they agitated to go into the Capitol, and if any of them did?
So I'm not going to violate this norm of the rule of law. I'm not going to comment on an investigation that's ongoing.
Okay. So that's the response from Attorney General Garland. And in today's remark, he was talking about how to follow the facts and for different categories of the behavior that people did, they will charge differently. But obviously, this Ray Epps guy, he's still free. He's actually still at his ranch in Arizona. That's according to Daily Mail's investigation, right?
As a matter of fact, Daily Mail reporter went to his ranch and tried to talk to him, and his response seems to be two sentences. The first one is, get off my property. And then as the Daily Mail reporter tried to explain their purpose, the second sentence is, get off my property. So he definitely refused to answer any questions or explain anything. And as we just heard from Attorney General Garland, there's different type of charge, and including conspired and either breach into the Capitol and conspire to do that. And this gentleman—that's
a felony, right?
Right.
And according to Attorney General Garland's explanation, and people also noticed that Ray Epps, he used to be on the wanted list of FBI, but by last July, I think it's July 1st, then his picture actually was taken off the wanted list.
Not just that, all the details about
right.
his record was taken off. We don't have conclusion here, okay? What we're trying to reporting to you is a reporting done by the Daily Mail and also the Revolver News, okay? And they talk about this person's has been never charged, and only actually through some special software which can keep archiving the website over the course of time can they go back and discover that he was the suspect number 16 on the FBI's list, most wanted list, immediately after the Capitol breach. Then this suspect number 16 will completely disappear, all the record with it. So only through that special archive software, they're able to unearth that and present it to you. And then when they ask question about this person, there's no answer given by the Justice Department about why they did not charge this person. And the congressman apparently tried to make another effort with the Attorney General, and he said, no information. So what do you think? What do you think? And as we can, what we can do as journalists, we need to keep pressing the fact, pressing it, for the answer, and keep raising questions until we know the truth. That's the job of us, the journalist. Okay, so Kathy.
Yeah, so maybe we can just address some of the comments.
Yeah, okay.
First,
thank you. Theo Frestus for your donation. Yeah, we haven't seen that for a while. Not blaming anybody.
Yeah, but you are the first one for the new year. So really
very heartwarming.
Thank you.
You always have a special spot in our mind, in our heart. Thank you very much. And let's see what kind of comment we have from our viewers here.
Okay.
Well, there's a okay. After watching, Tim, you said, after watching the socialists cheer on the burning of America in 2020 and FBI doing zero, the FBI are proven socialist criminal conspirators. And, I know how you feel about that. So, Kathy, you are reading from the Safe Chat, right?
Safe Chat, yes.
Yeah, so, we need to cover both ground.
Right. Yeah. Actually, Louis wanted us to ask if he knows the Ray Epps, but we didn't have the time to ask him.
Yeah.
He had to go, so maybe
and,
we can.
And Dr. Watson, you wrote that Ray Epps was directing things. Another man took down the no-entrance fencing. Another man on scaffolding, directing people and encouraged people to enter the building, Capitol Police, and open the doors. I think Matt talked about Tiananmen Square, right?
Yeah.
And
it's interesting he compared.
Yeah, you know, I was not there, okay, but close enough. I have my basically roommate who were in the Tiananmen Square. Basically, they were there, hunger striking. Think about it, hunger striking is not something very comfortable. Okay, completely peaceful. And the army moving in with tanks. Then the next day, what we heard from all over the state media is those students and there's basically rioters attacking police, attacking people. And then army soldiers were burned to death. Okay, that's the story we heard from state media. Because of that, the army has to respond. And then they cleansed the square. And then later, I remember this, the tank man photo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that, the tank
man
photo?
The young man standing from the tank as the tank just rolling, right?
Right, yeah. And the reporter was, say, German. He's a German, okay? He's a German reporter who worked for AP at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a 1 hour and 15 minutes interview with him. Okay, ask him about his experience. On that very night, he was there, and he was confronted by people as he took photo, confronted with the people who was beating death a soldier. And to him, those rioters didn't look like students at all. Didn't look at any people, normal people protesting there. Well, as somebody who worked through the communism, you know, in China and being here, you know, I stayed in China for over 20 years and here for 30 years. So basically to me, it's, you know, we know that, how that happened. You know, the student, as I was one of the students, I was in my junior year in the Fudan University in Shanghai. You know, I know the fellow students. We are completely peaceful. We're students. Okay, in China, students are very behaving. You know, we don't attack people, we don't kill people, we don't use, you know, the club to beat people to death, let alone soldier. And, but the government can go any length, beyond belief, you know. That's later we know that there's only things that you cannot imagine the CCP could do. And you just cannot fathom the length that they're going to go for it. So, yeah, they basically, in short, my conclusion is they kill people. They kill the soldiers, they kill their soldiers, then blame this on the students. And then for that reason, they are able to roll the tanks into Tiananmen Square. And then now, but now it's very, very difficult for them to cover that. Now all over the world, we know the truth about Tiananmen Square, well, except Chinese in China. But in the future, they will know. But on January 6th, it's let's see. You know, we'll stay watching this, and someday we're going to revisit this and understanding what indeed happened on that day.
Yeah, and Mark said on Safe Chat, it's sad to see how little is being done where is ACLU. I think one thing really kind of shocking to us, you know, immigrants from mainland China is because when we were in China, one thing was kind of fascinating to us about America is whether, you know, even people, the criminals in the prisons, they were treated with humanity, right? So they were actually, you know, just treated very well. And let alone United States have this law that, you know, even, you know, until you've proven you are guilty, you know, you are free, right? And how those people were treated in the detention center is, I think it's mind-boggling, no matter what they have or have not done.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's just very, very concerning.
Yeah, to be honest, I think a lot of people, elected officials, judges at the court, they were scared. They don't know how to respond. They just tried to run away from the issue. That's why, you know, those people were left cold there. They tried to run away. Everybody ran for cover. That's what happened after the January 6th. But for us, who went through that, you know, at a moment like this, you stay firm. Everybody stay firm. That's how you can uphold justice. Yeah, you know, there's some risks involved, but, you know, no risk, no gain. And I hope the country will learn from this. People will learn from this. Our elected official will learn from this. Our judge will learn from this. And, you know, but I do understand, to be honest, the country, the people, hasn't seen something like this before. So they didn't know how to react. So the reactions run for cover. Okay, this is 1 year later. We're reflecting on this, and you know, I cannot go too far, although in my answer, I know what happened and I know what shall be due. But I think it would take some time.
Yeah, and Jeff said America was founded when regular citizens stood up against a tyrannic government that seems to be happening all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so people really, yes, need to wake up and stand up. I agree with that.
So actually today, some friend was talking to me and saying that, because I'm sort of kind of influential in the Chinese community, and asked him to pick a politician, a candidate, and work with him. I said, no, that's not, I'm a journalist, okay? I don't want to put my limited time with just pick one person and hope he will become a good elected officials. I want to basically communicate the truth. I want to communicate to the American people. I think that's the most worthy thing. And, you know, you are doing this with us. Okay,
yeah,
someday.
And Yankee Ward said freedom is not free. Indeed, indeed. We really, especially for people like us, came from the, you know, totalitarian regime, freedom is indeed not free. We just enjoyed it. We just think it's something we just have it, right? But indeed, we have to gain the freedom. And we have to fight for it. And that start with, for us, it start with the freedom of media, yeah, and the freedom of the journalism.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for being with us tonight. And it's a heavy topic, but it's worth visiting. Yeah,
okay.
I know that you agree with us. Okay, so that'll be all for tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And until later, and indeed, we share with you our New Year resolution. We would like to make this show a daily show, and then we're working on that plan. We'll be communicating with our crew who has to put more hours into it. Yeah, I'm sure they will be supporting this. We'll be bringing more news and point of view that is worthy of your attention to you in the future, in the not too far future. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.